Saints, I greet you all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Let's start with 41 on the wings of a dove. E flat.
Saints, I greet you all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Noah had drifted on the flood many days. He searched for the land in various ways. Trouble he had some, but not from above. God gave him a sign on the wings of a dove, on the wings of a snow-white dove, God sends his pure, sweet love, a sign from my mouth, on the wings of a dove. Jesus, our Savior, came forth one day. He was born in a stable, in a manger of hay. Though he rejected, but not from above, God gave us his sign on the wings of a dove, on the wings of a snow-white dove. God sends his pure, sweet love, a sign from my mouth, on the wings of a dove. Though I have suffered in many a way, I cried for healing, both night and day. Faith wasn't forgotten by the Father above. He gave me his sign on the wings of a dove, of a snow-white dove. God sends his pure, sweet love, a sign from above, on the wings of a dove. Chorus again. On the wings of a snow-white dove, God sends his pure, sweet, a sign from above, on the wings of a dove. Amen. Let's sing hymn number 12, A flat.
Am I a soldier? Oh, the cross a fall, Lord of the Lamb.
Maybe A flat?
Yeah.
Okay.
Am I a soldier? Oh, the cross is for His name. Oh yes, and when the barley is over, we shall wear a crown. Yes, Lord, we shall wear a crown. Oh, we shall wear a crown. And when the barley is over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Oh, wear a crown, wear a crown, wear a bright and shining crown. And when the battle is over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Must I be carried to the sky on flowery beds of ease, while others fall to weep the price and sail through bloody sea? Oh yes, and when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Oh yes, we shall wear, hallelujah, we shall wear a crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Oh, wear a crown, wear a crown, wear a bright and shining crown. And when the battle is over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Oh, are there no foes for me to fear? Must I not stem the flood? Is this my world, a friend to grace to help me on to go? Oh yes, and when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Oh, we shall wear a crown. We shall wear a crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Oh yes, wear a crown, wear a crown, wear a bright and shining crown. And when the battle is over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem.
Amen. Since you may take your seats, if you don't mind, just want to sing you a wee song. It's from Revelation chapter 19, from verse 7 to 9. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife
It made itself ready. And his wife had made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. For the fine linen, it is the righteousness of sin. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Oh, he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
Thanks, bro. Somebody's very gifted. We're going to just take scripture and make beautiful songs here.
I remember Brother James's first song, "Where There's No Vision, People Perish." Many years ago, I never forgot that song. Such a nice song. God bless you, saints. I'll turn that off. Thank you, sister, very much. Let us just get our technology in order. Need to share. So we've gathered this evening. Sister Aggie is not able to come. She's in Carlo. We need to keep Sister Anne in prayer as well. Brother Enoch was saying, thank the Lord, he got a job. So he's waiting now to see if the sponsorship's going to go through. He was asking for prayer. So we really thank the Lord for that. That's a great, great thing for our brother. Okay. So let's stand, since let's open our Bibles to Psalm 127, a very familiar scripture. Psalm 127. And hopefully that's going to come on. So we're having a look at God's mind on marriage, which came from questions. It was mainly the senior youth who gave us quite a lot of questions. And the questions came into two different categories. Number one was concerning marriage. And number two was your calling, finding your position in Christ. There were a lot of different questions down those two lines. I thought to group them into two different sections. And once again, we'll have a look at the marriage issue, approaching marriage especially, which is God's mind on marriage. We used that title before because that is what we want. We need God's mind on marriage. Amen. If we're approaching something as important as marriage, we don't want our own thoughts. We don't want to follow Western culture. And we want to know, what is God's mind on marriage? He designed marriage from the beginning. He instituted it from the beginning. So we want to approach it in that way, that he knows the right way that marriage should be conducted, that it should be approached and so forth. So our thought this evening is firm foundation. Psalm 127 verse 1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. That's a strong scripture because we wanted to build our homes. And that is what marriage is all about. But except the Lord build the house, and if the Lord's not together with you as a co-laborer in your labors, it says we labor in vain. And that would be a sad thing to do. We don't really want to labor in vain. So let's pray. Father, how we need your grace, how we need your mercy every step of the way. We thank you for being here this evening, Lord, and we're trusting in thee to bless your people, to help us, to tune us into your mind. Father, is our desire. For Lord, we desire the mind of Christ. Give us wisdom, give us leadership, give us unction, bless your people. Pray for them that aren't here, Sister Anne, may you really, really minister to her, Sister Rose as well, be with her, Lord. And Father, we thank you for Brother Enoch. Just Father, we ask you to complete the work that you have begun. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless saints. Let's have a seat. So we're looking at God's mind on marriage. And we're looking at how to start things off, which is the firm foundation. So except the Lord build the house, we labor in vain. Jesus also gives us in Matthew chapter 7, building your house on the rock or building your house on the sand. Now, when you're building, if you looked at the outward building of both of these houses before the storms came, you would have said, oh, what's the difference? I may as well just go the easy way. Now, why should I build my house on a rock? Let me just build it on the sand. But you find it was when the storms came, the storms of life, the winds, the strife, the sicknesses, the sorrows, the misunderstandings. That's when you really see whether you've built something on the rock. Because something that's built the right way is going to stand the test of time. Because the Lord is with you in your building. But if you build, you take the shortcuts, you do it your own way, it's going to find you out down the way. It always does. If you start wrong, you finish wrong. It's just the way that it is in life. You start right, you're going to come out right. You know, it's so important the way that we start these things. So just with these things in mind, because Jesus is speaking of building there. We saw it in Psalm 127, speaking about building. That's I put a blueprint on the side because we want to build according to the original blueprint. The Lord has the blueprint of how do we build our homes? How do we approach relationships? How do we approach courtship? How do we approach building a home together? These are all very important fundamental questions that man has been facing up to since the Garden of Eden. You know, right from there, and problems came in from Eden. So this is a tricky junction of life to navigate through, as we will see. So we need to do it the Lord's provided way. Now the questions, I'll just read some of the questions and we'll get into the topic and we'll answer them along the way. But the first one was, when a brother and sister are interested in one another, but want to keep things private and take time to see if they are truly compatible, what is the proper way to go about it? Is it appropriate for them to talk or chat during that period? And how should they handle it wisely? It's a very good question. You know, they see somebody, they like somebody, there's a mutual attraction, and now they don't want things to be public, they don't want things to be announced in church and that because they're still really praying about it. But what is the way to approach this? How should things be done when the situation gets to that? The second one, is lobola, is bride price required when a brother and sister enter their marriage? We'll see that next time when you speak about culture and customs and all that. What happens if the brother is unable to afford it? Yet both parties believe they're meant to be together. That's a good question as well. That's a very practical question. Third one, how should someone cope when they have genuine hope or expectations for relationship with a brother or sister in Christ, but things do not work out and their heart is broken? And that's a serious question, which obviously comes from a personal experience. So that's a good question, which we need to have a look at. How do you cope? And we'll maybe just look at that a little bit. Finally, I think this is the last one. How do you know the perfect will of God? How do you know that they're in God's perfect will or in God's permissive will? Also, can God allow his elect to continue in his permissive will for their life? That's going to be very applicable here in marriage. If you want to just know a little bit about that, go and listen to Brother Billy Paul's testimony. If you want to know about getting in a permissive will when you marry the wrong person, when you marry because you know it's not the scriptural requirement, it's a sad thing. Yeah, it's a permissive will. Yes, you can get into a permissive will for the rest of your life. You marry the wrong person, you're going to get yourself in a permissive will. Finally, so the last one. Over the years, what have you noticed that youths most commonly fall short in? Is this particular subject that we're on here now? When it gets to time for marriage. We went through this 2 years ago. We went through it 3 years before that. We've been through these things a lot of time. And you still have headaches with people because people, I don't know why people don't want to follow just a divine order. Amen. People want to go and do it their own way. So yeah, we will have a look at that as we go. So we wanted to look at firm foundation today. Let's have a look at approaching these things properly. The importance of starting well. When you start well in all aspects of your life, that holds true. Spiritually, you got to start well. Now, if you don't go all the way to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it's going to catch you up down the way inside of your spiritual life. You know, so you want to start well. You want to really, really follow God's provided way. In marital things, marriage, starting well, approaching it the right way is such a key. Because if you don't approach this the right way, it is definitely going to catch you down the way. And we will have a look at that. And in natural things as well, when you're at work and stuff, your education, all these things, starting life well. Now, doing it the right way, you reap the benefits down the way. So you always want the firm foundation. You want to build on a rock. That's what Jesus said. We don't want to build on our opinions, our own ideas. We don't want to make up our own new cart and put the ark on a new cart. We want to just go God's provided way. And that's what we need to have a look at. This is part of conduct, order, and doctrine.
Amen.
You know, so this is doctrine of the church. And it's doctrine concerning our conduct and the order that our church follows. I like how I was speaking to the young guys. Brother Wilmer was speaking to the junior youth on Sunday. I didn't know that they started this topic on Sunday. I didn't know until I spoke to Brother Wilmer yesterday. Then he told me, Brad, it's really good. He said, we started the same topic with the junior youth at Sunday school. So I said, that's great. So the Lord obviously wants this topic to be reinforced because this is the senior youth that are asking these kind of questions. But Brother Wilmer said a very interesting thing. He said, look, guys, he says, we're going to show you over the next few weeks God's order of doing these things. We're going to show you the right way. And he said, and if you, any of you guys go and do it another way, I'm not coming to your wedding. And he was very serious about it because these are not optional things. Yeah, and we'll speak about it down the way that, like us, we draw a line in the sand from this topic this time. Okay, for the days of ignorance gone by, we wink an eye at them. But going forward from now, we're not going to compromise with these things anymore. Because if you know to do right and you don't do it to you, it becomes sin. And we're going to deal with it in that kind of a way. So we need to show the right way. And it's a blessed thing to follow the right way. But obviously there's consequences as well, because this is conduct, this is order, and this is doctrine. And it's important, as we'll see, we'll get into that as we go, why it's important for people to follow the right system and the right order. Okay, so we need to ask ourselves, when we're approaching marriage, approaching relationships, where are we getting our pattern from? Are we getting it from Hollywood, or are we going to follow the heavenly pattern? Now, there's two roads you can take. Yeah, that's what we sing this song. One by sight and one by faith. But if you want divine blessing on anything you do, the Lord said it to Moses, you need to build according to the heavenly pattern. God will never bless something which is not the heavenly pattern. If Moses, the prophet, speaks about going to visit his friend, a man that was actually, I think he was going out with the in courtship with the lady, the daughter, and then he went to stay at their house with the dad, invited him to come and have some fellowship after church. And he went there, and Brother Man ended up sleeping with the dad in the lounge, talking all night, and it was about baptism and so forth. And the man said, it makes no difference how you're baptized. Yeah, and Brother Man said, this baptism has an order. It's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they talked and talked and talked, and finally fell asleep. And that man woke up in the morning and said, Billy, I had a dream last night. He said, what? He says, me, I'm a contractor. He says, and in the dream, I was contracted to build a house. He said, and I looked at the blueprint and I saw they wanted a big bay window around on the side of the house by the lounge. And I thought, that doesn't look right. So I said, I'm not going to make it like that. And I built it the way that I thought was right. And in the dream, the man came to me and said, hey, where's my bay window? He says, it was on the blueprint. You break it down, build it again according to the blueprint, otherwise you won't get paid. And the man said, Billy, what do you think it means? And Brabham said, there's a stream down at the end of your garden there, you know. That's what it, and he says, then we went and we baptized him because the Lord was showing, if you want the blessing, you follow the blueprint. Yeah, and God, if marriage is such an important thing, marriage is such a fundamental thing, God has obviously given us the blueprint. Now, you wouldn't just leave us to try to navigate and find our own way. You know, that's what it is. So we need to follow the blueprint on this. That's why it's God's mind on marriage. Where are we getting our examples from? Yeah, where are we getting our example? In the modern day and age, there's dating. You know, dating is a very unscriptural concept. There was no such thing as dating in the Bible. No. For someone just to go out and spend time with a girl with no intention to marry her, that is a pagan tradition. That's nothing to do with scriptural order. Would you ever have found in the Old Testament Isaac just going and hanging around with girls just to take them out to go and have a milkshake? There was nothing like that in those days. You know, a boy and a girl by themselves just going without any serious intention. That, you know, like, the problem is, as we'll see, Hollywood has influenced the mindset of Western culture so much. And especially with the digital age. Yeah, it's like this influence has become so all-pervasive that the moment somebody comes back and starts speaking about the scriptural way, it seems like you're an antique. No, because this new concept, we've watched so many movies. We've watched all, when we grew up, it was movies like Grease and all of those kind of ones. You know, and it was all the immorality, boys and girls kissing on screen, unmarried people kissing, married people kissing. You know, people, all of these things which we've been inundated with has affected the way that we look at things. You know, so when we're approaching marriage, the prophet actually says it. He says, our Western culture, he says, is so far from the Eastern ways. Our Western culture is very pagan. Yeah. Our Hollywood culture is very unscriptural. That's why I said it's God's mind on marriage. But the default setting we have when you come to the Lord, we look at it the way that Hollywood has portrayed it. You know, you just go and you hang out and you do all of these kind of things. You just go and date a girl, but you have no intention of marrying her. Never. I mean, that is really, really just putting yourself in serious temptation, in playing around with somebody else's future wife. If you don't intend to marry somebody, why are you trying to get into a relationship with them? The scripture that you don't do things like that scripturally. It's going to be hard to get amens on this one, I think. But it's absolutely the truth. The prophet says that. He says that our Western ideas are far from the Eastern ways. If you go to the East, there's still the remnant of what God's original mind was when he spoke to the patriarchs, and the society still had a godly influence inside of it. You go to the East now and you'll still find they still have remnants of that culture there now. You know, now Israel, I mean, has also become so Western, unless you go to the Orthodox people. And then they have still this tradition. We went to Israel, me and Brother George, we invited to a Jewish lady's house, the neighbor of one sister in the church, and she invited us to come for a kosher meal. She was an Orthodox Jewish lady. Yeah, we came to her apartment, went inside, I wanted to shake her hand. She says, I'm sorry, I only touch the hand of my husband. I don't touch the hand of any other man. Don't touch any other man. You see, they still have that traditional way of looking at things. You look back in the older days when the women used to veil themselves and all that kind of stuff when they're in public. You know, there was a humility, there was a modesty, there was a covering up. That was the culture because of the influence of the reality of God's mind and presence in the culture. But that's been stripped so far away because of Hollywood. Yeah, because of the movies and the actresses and the pop stars and all of the things that have come and the influence, the fashion, they've influenced the morals. And they've influenced the way that marriages are conducted. Until now, most people don't marry anymore. People just live together. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Or people do try before you buy. You live together before you get married and stuff. Yeah. And it's so common that it seems normal to people. Mm-hmm. Until you're transformed by the renewing of your mind and you receive the mind of Christ. Mm-hmm. And you tune into the divine frequency. And you see, what is God's thoughts about this? What is God's way of doing things? Mm-hmm. And the only way we can do something properly is to get in the spirit of it. We've got to get in the spirit of the composer on this one here. We've got to look in the Word. You've got to be prayerful. We've got to find, okay, Lord, you instituted this. You have great thoughts for marriage. Yeah, what is your way of approaching these things? You know the right way this should be done. Like the prophet says, if you have problems with your car, yeah, you problems in the engine, you get the handbook and you go and see what the problem is from the manufacturer. That the very, very one who designed and put that thing together is the one who knows exactly how it should run. And he says, that's what it is with life as well. We need to go back to the original, which is God's blueprint. We've got to be so careful. The prophet says, we in America and the rest of the world have a loud speaking voice today. That's the voice of Hollywood. It's captured the world. Let somebody come out in Hollywood with something, you find it all over the country. It's so very influential. When you're speaking of Hollywood, we're speaking of the whole fourth dimension. Amen. That's what you're speaking. We're speaking of Netflix, we're speaking of YouTube, we're speaking of social media, the influence that has come. Now, the spirit behind all of these things and how it's influenced society. I mean, it's been so rapid, the influence, it's unbelievable. If you ask Brother Alec, when he was young, I mean, compared to now, it's absolutely night and day from what it was. And it's because of this influence. The prophet says, the voice of Hollywood. He says, they've set a pattern for our woman in their dress, their hairstyles. He says, the church ought to know the voice of the trumpet of God on that. But there's so much confusion because you see others doing this, doing so and so. You see other examples. Don't never pattern yourself after that kind of an example because it's perishable. Always hear the voice of God and do what He says about it. Now that's what a believer wants to do. We want to dress the way God wants us to dress. We don't have to dress like Muslims and go back to dressing like they did in 600 and something AD. Now you can put a dress, a woman can dress in a modern kind of a dress as long as it's modest. That's the requirement of the word. A man can dress in his t-shirt, put on his jeans. That's okay, as long as we don't fashion ourselves after the sinful fashions of the world, because it's so very, very influential. So we want to follow this heavenly pattern. We want, like Moses, when he was shown in the mountain, the Lord didn't say, Moses, this tabernacle is really important to me. Yeah, I want you to build it, good luck. He didn't do that. He says, Moses, this is too important. I'm going to show you everything that needs to be done. I'm going to show you exactly the way that this tabernacle needs to be. But come up to the mount. And he broke into the realm of vision, broke into the mind of God. And he saw all of the furniture, everything that needed to be done. And then he came down and he imparted that heavenly vision. And he was making sure while they were building it that everything matched the heavenly vision, because God wasn't going to come down and tabernacle himself in that tabernacle if it didn't match the heavenly vision. He said it had to be built according to the way God said it should be built. Then God would bless it. And in Exodus 40, Moses finished the work. He did all things according to what God had said. And then the glory came and filled the tabernacle and the ministers could administer and so forth. Now we want God's blessing on our marriages. Yes. We want God's blessing on our homes. We want God's blessing on our children. So we've got to go according to the blueprint, the heavenly pattern. And it's not complicated. God made sure it's very simple, but it's very, very contrary to modern tradition, to modern culture. You go back to African culture, there's more godliness in African culture because there's still a remnant, like even Bride Price and those kind of things. You can trace it back, you can see where it came from. But our Western culture is so far from what it used to be, so far from the things of God. So it says we want to build, because unless the Lord builds the house, we're going to spend a lot of time and it's not going to really come to what God wants it to be. We don't want to labor in vain. So how do we know how to build? We go to the heavenly pattern. We go to the blueprint. And we follow the blueprint. And the prophet says, you've got to work from the original. Like if you want to build a church, go back and look at the original. God gave us a blueprint. He gave us the book of Acts. He gave us the early church. Amen. He gave us the epistles of Paul. He showed us how we should baptize, how things should be run. He showed us, you know, how a believer progresses on in their Christian walk. We don't need anything new. We just go back to the original blueprint. We become original Christians and God will bless that every single time. Because God is no respecter of persons. You know, if anybody follows the principles of His word with an honest heart, God is going to bless that person. The prophet says if one person met a condition of God's word and God healed them, every time anybody meets that condition, God's got to do the same. So God doesn't change. He's the great eternal. His systems never change. His thoughts never change. His ways never change. But He says, but your ways are so far beneath my ways. He says, and your thoughts are so far beneath my thoughts. So we need to come up out of the Hollywood thoughts and the Laodicea way of looking at relationships. Yeah. Yeah. We see it. I mean, when I was in P7, there was immorality taking place among boys and girls. I remember that school. You know, it's just this. And where did people get that from? From the movies, from the TV. You know, they got that influence from somewhere. And you don't realize how much these things condition you to see things in a certain way. Look at the world that hates Israel now because of the power of social media, because of the BBC and all of these anti-Semitic organizations. They've conditioned the world to love Barabbas and hate Jesus. Now, the fulfillment of the word Israel, God's people gathered back to their land, but 90-something percent of the world is against Israel. Yeah, doesn't make sense. Even the LGBTQIAX, whatever they are, they're joining with Hamas. Oh, yeah. Yet the moment like this and they step foot in Gaza, it's the end of them. Yeah. It just doesn't make sense, but it's the power of influence. It's the power of conditioning. But we want to be original believers. Amen. That's what Elijah comes to do, to turn our hearts back to the fathers, to take us back to the original. That's what it is. So if we're going to do our marriages, or approaching marriages, courtship, whatever, we want to do it the original way. Amen. We don't want to do it any new way, because you're going to find a lot of disappointment if you do that. And when you're building now, you get to junctions. Like when you, the senior youth now, they're getting to those junctions. Our younger ones are getting near to that junction of having to navigate through marriage now, finding the right person. Yeah, navigating through courtship, getting into a home together. And when you're turning the corner, that needs some skill.
Yes.
Like the prophet said, anybody can build a wall straight, but it takes somebody who's skilled to do the corner, because that's not that easy to do it. So when you're navigating the corners, the junctions of life, it needs special grace. Yes. No, it needs sensitivity. It needs wisdom to go through that. Because you want the Lord to build with you. And like I say, sin means to miss the mark. We don't want to miss the mark here. And when you start wrong, the Brahma gives an example. He says, if you get your gun or you get your bow and arrow and you start off just a little bit wrong in the beginning, by the time that arrow or that bullet goes a few hundred yards, it's far off course. And you start off wrong in relationships and see where it's going to get you down the way. Now you start off wrong and you find, wow, down the way, it becomes something which you didn't expect that it was going to do. Start right and you're going to finish right. Start wrong and you end up in the wilderness every single time. And you know, this world, we don't have enough time. The prophet was told, don't tangle your line in these kind of times. Now we don't want to do that. So we need to enter these things wisely. So Moses, the Lord says, make things according to the blueprint. If you want the blessing to come down, what did Elijah say in 1 Kings in white? He said, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, that I am your servant, and that I've done all these things at your word. When Elijah came and the altar was broken down, and he knew that God wants worship in the original way, he restored the original altar. He just took the stones and put them back the way that they used to be. He didn't put anything new. And then he said, Lord, let it be known that I've done this according to your word. I followed the heavenly pattern and heaven responded and the fire fell. And if you want the blessing on your wedding day, if you want the blessing of God in your home, follow the original pattern. Don't do anything new. Just go and do it the way the word teaches it to be done. And we have Elijah, the spirit of Elijah in this age to... We've had a restored word. Now, where people have made up their own opinions and interpretations, but God has given us a message, which is the restored word once again. So we don't have to crack our minds and crack our heads and say, okay, what am I supposed to, how do I interpret this? That? No, you don't have to do that. The Lord has been very, very mindful of us. So we want to navigate this particular junction of life safely.
Amen.
There's a ship that had good intentions, but it didn't navigate safely because it got off course and it hit the rocks. Yeah, and if you consider the caliber of people behind us in the Bible who made shipwreck at this particular juncture, it'll make you very, very cautious the way that you handle things. There's great people right the way back to Adam. I mean, the very first marriage, the very first relationship didn't end well. Satan got in there and brought something new, and it cost them their place in paradise. And there was a lot of tears. The prophet speaks of Eve coming out of the garden, putting her head on Adam's shoulder, weeping. sorrow came in. Why? Because they got diverted from the original blueprint. They got out from behind the word, and Satan took an advantage and he marred the whole thing. And that became such a we're still feeling the effects of it now. The consequences of starting wrong, sometimes the consequences are going to be far-reaching inside of your life. You don't want to be doing that. You think of Samson. You know, people with such potential, but it was this particular junction now, finding the right person and handling their passions and so forth. That's where he made shipwreck of his walk. That's where he got a blot and a mar on his name that follows him up to now. And when you look back at Samson, the prophet speaks of his brother Howard. We spoke of it at the house meeting that other day. He says, my brother Howard, he says, great personality called to be a minister, but his friends, his associates held him back. And then he Howard himself said, Billy, I got married. He messed everything up. He called to be a minister, but he never fulfilled his potential because he got himself snared up, caught up in the wrong things. He needed just maybe at that junction, good advice, whatever. I don't know what he missed out on, but he messed things up. And he only got things back on course lying on his deathbed at the end of the journey. It's a sad thing to think about. The prophet says, a great personality, called to be a minister. Hey, friends, we don't want to mar your testimony. You might have been a young person who's done so well. You know, you've come to adoption as a young person. You're really handling yourself well. This is a place where people very easily mar their testimony. It's very easy to do it. And it's sad. We know so many people have done it. All the way back to when we were young, up to date. People can easily mar their testimony, blot your record, get into the permissive will of God, or even get out of the will of God at this particular junction in life. Genesis 6, the sons of God, they married the daughters of men. And what happened? God never gave them, the prophet said. They messed things up. They were the sons of God, but they went. The Bible says it was the marriage and divorce issues, he says, before the flood. Caused God to wipe the whole thing off. You know, so I'm really just trying to stress this even, the importance of starting properly, of understanding that these are not just optional things. And that's okay. Yeah, okay, the church says this, but I'll go and do it another kind of a way. It'll catch you. You don't want to play around like that. That's what Satan wants us to do. He wants you to go your own way, but there's only two ways of doing something. God's way, which is the right way, and your way, which is the wrong way. And you don't want to approach these kind of things the wrong way. Then the prophet gives the next example in Baal Peor. In the days of Moses, came out in the Exodus in the wilderness. And here came the woman of Moab now stripped down. And then the sons of God once again started getting in relationship with the daughters of men. And God had to send this plague. And Phinehas had to take his javelin and come and make an atonement and smite that man. He's the economy's name. And the woman's name was Cosby. I always remember it from the Bible. You can read in your Bible. It was a serious thing. It brought a plague in the house of God when they started playing around with these issues, not following the blueprint. What about Solomon? Solomon, the Bible says his strange wives turned his heart away from God in his later life. A man that had a gift of wisdom, that God gave great wisdom in the beginning. But he hit a junction and he got sidetracked by these things and he marred his testimony. He had built the temple. God had filled the temple. But we know in the end, we said, wow, look at Solomon. He went astray in the end because of these very issues. So I'm just trying to stress that these people are very high caliber who messed this up.
That's right.
So you and I being people of flesh, we can easily mess it up as well. That's how we don't want to lean on our own understanding. We don't want to be wise in our own eyes. But you want to humble ourselves.
Yes.
And we want to follow divine order. And God will always bless you when you follow his order. That's why I'm just trying to hit this point. David's reproach, a man after God's own heart, the greatest king of all Israel until Jesus came. Such a blot on his record. What was it? These issues, the marriage and divorce issues. The prophet says, why is this such a problem to the human race? Because it's the original sin. This is where things started right from the beginning in Eden. You know, so we have a propensity, an inbuilt weakness to this if you're not careful. If we don't keep the blood between us and the sins of this age, the sins of the flesh, the natural tendencies, it's easy to miss the mark here. Amen. It's easy to miss the mark. And we don't want people to miss the mark. That's why I'm speaking like I am tonight. I'm trying to really stress that, saints, let's draw a line in the sand. We're not going to ever play with this. It's too important. And especially senior youth. You senior youth have a serious responsibility to leave footprints on the sands of time for the ones that are following you. That if you play around with this and then the junior youth see you playing around, what sort of hope are you going to give them? They're going to start thinking, oh, it's acceptable to do those kind of things. Jesus says, woe unto you if you stumble one of these young ones. He said, it was better a millstone is put around your neck and you be cast into the sea. We don't want to be offending the little ones. We want to be setting an example. And we've tried it in our generation, despite our faults and failings. But you can go to where we came from, where we got married. Brother James and them know we followed the order. The very first thing when I met Gitana and I came back to Northern Ireland, I prayed. Then I went to Brother Virgus because he was from the same church. And I said, Brother Virgus, what is the order of the church concerning these things? Because each church has specifics in its order. And then he told me exactly what was the order of the church there in Vilnius. And Amen. We followed the order. We had Brother George come with us as a third party. Amen. We didn't just go, you know, and walk around by ourselves and put ourselves in big temptation. Though, you know, I was a minister. I mean, I was in my 30s. I wasn't a young man. But there's an order to these things. Amen. And you respect God's order and God will respect you. God will 100% respect Amen. You. And with Brother James, if you go and ask, or go and have a look, Brother Wilmore, go and look, Brother Ellie, go and look and see. They did it the right way. There's plenty of examples that are before the saints in this age, in scripture, through the church history, and in this age of saints who did it the right way, who followed God's provided way, and God blesses them for that. But there's a tendency now I've seen coming and people want to do it another way. And we don't need to be doing that, saints. That'll cause you a lot of sorrow and a lot of heartache if you do that. We don't want to do it that kind of way. The consequences are too great. The Lord had to say to David, because of what you've done, you've caused the daughters of the Philistines to blaspheme. Yeah. He says, you've brought a reproach on my name. You've brought a reproach upon my kingdom. He says, the unbelievers now are laughing at this. Friends, that's a sad thing. Now, when you start so well like David, and then you bring reproach upon the name of the Lord, and he seriously repented, but there were still consequences. Because for the rest of his days, he had problems in his house. Because of that blot at that junction there. And if David could do it, we can do it as well, saints. Yes. We can also do it. We don't want to do that. Now, sometimes you see people that question was asking a very good question. We'll get on to them. Yeah, let's say you meet a girl and you want to keep it private. We'll get on to that now, how private you can keep things. But sometimes you want to keep things secret. You want to be contacting a girl and texting her and all this kind of stuff. And her dad doesn't know. Her parents don't know. The pastor doesn't know. Wow. What did Jesus say in Luke 12? There's nothing covered that shall not be revealed. Neither hid that shall not be known. Amen. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. It always comes out in the end. You may think that you're in a relationship and nobody's watching, but let me tell you, we know you're in a relationship.
Yes.
Because somebody's already come and told us, because it's the house of God. Mm-hmm. God doesn't want those kinds of things in his house. Yeah. And it's what an embarrassing thing when you have to be called maybe to the pastor's office and say, what are you doing? Yeah, and you've been such a good, fine young man or fine young sister, and now there's a blot and a blemish.
That's right.
Do you really want it to be like that? We don't want that. You know, so if we don't want that, we need to start preparing now so that doesn't happen. We've got to make sure we're behind the defenses, we're behind the word, and we're doing it the way that the scripture said and the way that the message teaches us to do it. Isaiah 29, verse 15, it speaks of hiding your counsel as well. It says, woe unto them that seek deep, to hide their counsel from the Lord. No, they want to do things in secret. Yeah, they want to be texting sisters in another church. Let's meet, let's kiss, and this guy, I'm speaking real situations. Says, woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in dark, and they say, who sees us? And who knows us? Hey, friends. This is something that needs to be done in the light. We're children of the day. We don't do things in the dark. We don't involve ourselves in the unfruitful works of darkness. We don't do things in secret. We don't do things contrary to order. We don't want to be doing that, saints. It's not wise to do it. We want to seek God after divine order. He has David, the sincere man. He said, let's bring the Ark of the Covenant. Let's bring it up to Jerusalem. They put it on a new cart. It's supposed to go on the shoulders of the Levites. And then the oxen stumble. The ark's about to fall. He has Uzzah. Good brother wants to help now. Puts his hand to steady the ark. He gets smitten dead by God because he's not allowed to touch the ark. And David now afterwards, when he learns the lesson and says to the Levites, you were supposed to have carried it. He says in 1 Chronicles 15, because you did it not at the first, you Levites, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order. He says, I made a blunder. I never followed God's order, and it caused the death of an innocent man. Can you see there's consequences to these things? And David got fearful of the Lord and says, but hey, I don't understand. Then he went. Where did David make his mistake? He never consulted the prophet and he never involved the priesthood. That's us trying to get into courtship and that we don't follow the message and we don't follow the priesthood, which is the ministry. Amen. No, those are the two. That's the mistake he made. He consulted the wrong people. He spoke to the captains of hundreds and thousands and said, hey, do you think? And they all had a jubilee. Yeah, let's do it. That's like you speaking to your friends and saying, yeah, I'm contacting this sister, and you're doing it in secret. And all your friends are agreeing with you. That was what David did. He's consulted the wrong people. And then now when finally the disaster happened and the young man Uzzah died, David went to the Lord now, and the Lord told him, you go and speak to the prophet. He went to the prophet, and the prophet told him, David, you didn't do it after God's order. The word says the ark can only be carried on the shoulder of the Levites. And now when he did it the right way, the Bible says, and the Lord helped them. Because God is always going to help you when you do things according to the right order. It's not sincerity. David was very sincere, but he was sincerely wrong. And it caused the death of an innocent man. And when you approach courtship in that the wrong way, get involved in relationships that you shouldn't, you'll end up causing the death of young people spiritually in the church. Because they think that you are the standard and the pattern. And then they end up following the same kinds of things. We don't want that, saints. Like I said, let's draw a line in the sand now and be really faced up to this issue the way that it should be. And this is the order, conduct order and doctrine of the church. This is the way that things are done. We don't accept any other way.
Amen.
I think it's the best thing we do there. Now, the prophet says, questions and answers, speaking of how do you enter into even the thought of marriage, courtship, relationships with a member of the opposite sex? Prayerfully and advisably. He says, do you know many times you get the wrong mate here on earth? Many times. That question about permissive will. Can God allow his people to be in permissive will for all their life? The prophet's telling us, you're going to marry the wrong person and you're going to be having the wrong mate for the rest of your life until death us do part. Yeesh. Some pretty pair of brown or blue or gray eyes vamps you. I don't know what that means, but it must have been the term. That, like, you know, she flaps her eyes. Or I don't know what you do these days, but vamps you into a place that you shouldn't have listened. You know, she influences you. You influence her. It's a secret alliance. It's something being done in secret. It's something being done in the dark. Many a man realizes that. A man realizes afterwards, that wasn't the right basis right from the beginning. You know, I was caught by her flirting with me. Yeah. It wasn't that I prayed. and found the mind of God and was attracted to her. Yes, it's got to be an attraction, absolutely. But there's also got to be a certain sound inside of your soul. The prophet says about Ahab, he says, when Jezebel came, painted herself up and flapped her eyes, he said his heart started to flutter because God wasn't in his heart. If God had been in his heart, God would have warned him and said, hey, stay away from her. She's a wild one, this. She's not a daughter of God. The prophet says a man getting married should first approach it prayerfully. Amen. Prayerfully. The first thing shouldn't be a message on WhatsApp or on whatever. That's not how a relationship should start. It should start with prayer. There's an attraction, then there's prayer. And it's got to be serious prayer because you need to hear from God. You're praying and saying, Lord, is this the person that you've ordained me to spend the rest of my life with? Yes, there's feelings. It could be passion. There could be mutual attraction. There's nothing wrong with that. But the very first basis of everything has got to be prayer. Because this world has so many people. For you to find the one person in this entire globe that God has ordained for you to marry needs God's predestination and prayer. For you to be sensitive so that you know, this is the person. You go to a youth camp, there's so many sisters, there's so many brothers. Let's pray. Prayer is the key to start things off properly. Then this is the marriage wedding ceremony. It says, dearly beloved, we gathered here in the sight of God, in the face of this company, to join together this man and this woman in holy matrimony, which is commanded by St. Paul to be honorable among men. We've got to approach this and be honorable in the way that we handle it. It is therefore not by any to be entered into unadvisably. There's got to be advice. There's got to be people giving you advice. Otherwise, you're going to go the way of Solomon. You're going to go with David. Easy for you to go with Samson. Easy for you to do what Adam and Eve did. Easy to be like the sons of God in Genesis 6. Easy for you to fall like in Baal Peor. There's got to be advice. He says it should be entered into not unadvisably or lightly. It's not just a foolish thing. This is a very serious junction of your life. Be outside of salvation. This is the second greatest thing God can do to you in this life, the prophet says, is to give you a good wife. So it's the second most important thing outside of salvation inside of your life. Surely we need to approach it like that. Yeah. If you're really getting serious about your soul and wanting to be saved and wanting to walk with the Lord, the prophet says, you should pray about the church you're going to. Because that church is going to have a huge impact on your spiritual life. And he says, so too when choosing a bride. You've got to be like Eliezer. He realized, I need the angel of the Lord to go before. I need God to be in this. Otherwise, I could easily here choose the wrong person. And when he committed it to the Lord sent his angel before. And God brought them together exactly the right place at the right time. He says, it shouldn't be entered unadvisably lightly, but advisably, soberly, and in the fear of God. That's what it should be. Wow. Okay, so he has a young boy, he has a young girl. There's an attraction. What is the next thing? You pray. And once you prayed and the young man realizes, I really think this is the girl for me. And the girl prays, I really think this is the boy for me. Now you respect headship. Because both of you are under headship. A girl is under the headship of her father until she's married. Then the father comes and hands her over to, at the wedding ceremony, hands her over to the groom, and she comes out from under the father's headship, under the headship of her husband now. So how can you get in a relationship with a girl without speaking to her head? That's the very first thing you got to do. Go to the Generations book, go to Sister Rebecca. She meets George Smith. And George is a Christian boy. Sister Rebecca is a nice girl. George is attracted because she wears a skirt. He's a good Christian boy. He comes, he asks, do you think we could, you know, start getting to know each other? What is the very first thing she told him? You need to come and speak to my dad. That's the order, friends. You cannot get into a relationship with my daughter without speaking to me first. If you get in and try to get in a relationship with her And I find out about it later on. It's the end of that relationship. Because you haven't respected my headship. So why should I respect you? And if you don't, look, if this young man at this junction doesn't respect headship, surely that girl should see that. And so right from the beginning, this guy's not respecting God's order. If he doesn't respect headship now, he's not going to respect headship down the way. You see? You should pick it up straight away to say, but why does this guy not want to speak to my dad? Now, when he's speaking of headship, he's got to go through the family to get to her. You're not just marrying a girl, you're marrying into a family. So you want to get the respect of the family. You want to do it honorably from the beginning. Now there's two families. One is the family of God and one is the natural family. And there's two fathers there in a way. So you need to go to the father for the natural family. You need to go to the pastor for the spiritual family. You respect headship. You know, you're thinking to get married. You like a certain girl. Don't go any further. You don't start chatting her up. You stop. You now go and pray. When inside of your heart, there's the leadership of the Holy Ghost. You believe this is your wife. You go and you speak to your pastor.
Amen.
Straight away. Because how can you be in a relationship with a girl in church and the pastor, the elders, and the deacons know nothing about it? That's the same as the daughter being in a relationship in the home and the father and the mother don't know anything about it. Is that respectful?
No.
That's not respectful, friends. That's not a good order to follow. There's no safety in that. Because there's wolves out there and there's hyenas out there. That's what Paul said. Mm-hmm. Grievous wolves. There's young men that are posing in this message if they message believers, but they've got the heart of wolves. And what they're wanting is secret relationships, and it doesn't end well.
Mm-hmm.
And the way you block that straight away is when somebody approaches you as a girl, the first thing you say, you go and speak to my father. That's it. Sister Rebecca said, Brother Bram was her pastor as well, so it was a double blessing for her. But you should respect headship. If you want God to respect you, show respect to headship. If you want your wife to respect your headship, how can she respect your headship when the whole relationship started off and you didn't respect other people's headship? Yeesh. That is Hollywood relationships. That is Laodicean's perversion. That's why Laodicea leads to that a man can marry a man, a woman can worry a woman, marry a woman. Look how far it goes, this Hollywood stuff. We don't need any of that darkness in our relationships. We need to follow the word. And headship, respecting headship is a key. So that good question that whoever it was asked to say, we'd like to do it privately. How should we go about it? Yes, you can do it privately, but being private doesn't mean you don't tell the pastor.
No.
Doing it privately doesn't mean you don't tell the dad. The relationship doesn't begin until you do that. Amen. Now we can keep it private because you've told the right people. And the pastor will notify the deacons and them so that if you've seen in town or if you've seen somewhere, and also you should be having a chaperone, a third person with you anyhow. So you're going to have to involve somebody else. And the young people in church are going to see you going into McDonald's or going into Nando's. And they're going to come to the deacons or they're going to come to their Sunday school teachers are going to come to me. Say, we saw brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so in town. And it's an embarrassment if we don't know what's going on. That's a blot against people. When you say, wow, I don't know anything about that. Yeesh. But it happens, friends. But from now, I say, is a line in the sand. It doesn't happen again. Please, saints, it's the end. Because now there's repercussions to it from now on. Now, the days of ignorance, like I said, maybe people do things that they don't understand what they're doing. But I think people should have, because it's not the first time we've spoken of these things. But we'll give grace and we'll say, okay, let's draw a line in the sand. This is the order of the church. If you're going to go secretly and speak to a girl in church, and you're going to try to push on your... The moment you hear about it, that's the end of that relationship. Absolutely. As a father, that's what I would do. And as the pastor, that's what you do as well. And as soon as I know that this young man's been playing games behind people's backs, the first thing I do is I tell the parents. And then you're going to have to, that young man's going to have to go and explain to that girl's parents what he's been doing with their daughter. That's going to be an embarrassment. That's cannot be an easy thing. So why get yourself involved in that kind of a way? Why not do everything above board? We're children of the light. Let's do it in the light. Let's follow God's order. Let's do things respectfully, and we won't have any of these problems down the way. It sounds hard, friends, but it's absolutely scriptural order. And it's not hard. It's safe. It's a blessed thing to do. That's what we did when we got married. I'm sure Brother Ngoni, Sister Sarah were the same. You know, Brother Ngoni would never go and chat up Sister Sarah and be secret alliance for 6 months before he speaks to her dad. What? He's a minister, Sister Sarah's dad. He would have kicked Brother Ngoni's bum big time. You get out of there. That's the end of the relationship. And we would have all said amen. And we would have marked that young man and say, we're watching. And the bad thing about it, when you start doing that, when brothers, young brothers start doing that, it gets out into the public and you get a bad name. And you end up having to go to another continent to marry because everybody in all the churches around you knows have nothing to do with that young man. You don't want to get yourself in that situation. Now you'll think it's okay, I can do it. No one will know. This is the kingdom of God, saints. This is not school. This is not college. This is the house of God. Amen. Christ is jealous over his house. He doesn't want these kinds of things in his house. So we need, first thing, go and speak to the pastor. Why should you come to the pastor first? Because you might be thinking of a certain girl, and I might know certain things about her that you need to know before you go any further. Maybe she's already just about to get into courtship. Yeah? We've had situations like that. A young man comes the week before, you've just spoken, a girl wants to get in courtship with somebody. A young man comes the next week, but I'm really praying, I'm thinking about this sister. And it was very good he came to me first, didn't go direct, because it would have been a big embarrassment for him because she was just got into courtship with somebody else. So you can help him. So he, brother, you don't know this yet, but that sister's already taken. And then it stops and it's quiet and it finishes there. And then he moves on and he goes and prays a little bit better next time for the leadership of the Holy Ghost. But it'll keep you from a lot. We are not there to give permission to things. A pastor's not there to give you permission to get into a relationship. He's there to give you advice. It's the father has to give you permission. Yeah, the pastor doesn't. I'm not there to say, no, you can't, unless there's a scriptural reason for it. I can say, look, brother, that's okay, but now go and speak to the dad. And then you go and speak to the dad. And it's the dad now who looks with the eagle eyes into your heart and your conduct and tells you the conditions now of the way that things should be done. Let's finish off. Paul says concerning discerning the body. He says, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you. There's many. There's many weak, sickly believers, many weak, sickly relationships. Why? They never discerned the body of the Lord. They never respected the house of God. They never respected divine order and these kind of things. And it catches you. Paul was saying, you come to the house of the Lord and you play around. He says, that's why you're sick and you can't get healed. He says, that's why many sleep. Many have been taken home early. He says, not discerning the body of the Lord. What is the body of the Lord? It's the bride of Christ now. That's the household of the faith. We need to discern it and respect it and say, wow, let me be careful with the body of Christ. This is not just my school friends. This is not just, you know, things at college. These are the saints of God. Amen. And these are their daughters that we're dealing with. It's got to be done respectfully. In the message, respects, the prophet says, God demands respects for his servants.
Amen.
God demands respect. You might not even like the girl's dad very much, but you got to respect his position as a dad. Me, I don't really respect some of these politicians, but you still got to respect their position. You got to, you know, you might not like them as people and their policies, but you got to respect their position. God demands respect for headship, for authority. So how do you show respect to headship? You don't chat up somebody's daughter without them knowing. That is very disrespectful. you respect him and you come and sit down and say, please, I'm so-and-so, I'm thinking of this, that, and the other. And you start the relationship. And you're going to love a young man like that. You're going to respect a young man like that who's willing to do things the good, old-fashioned, original way. That thing should be done. God demands respect. And one of the greatest things you can get in life is your father's blessing. Go back in the Old Testament. That's what Jacob wanted the most, was the blessing of his father. There's power in a father's blessing. When the father blesses a relationship, God blesses that relationship. If that's a godly father, it's true. There's a, when Jacob blessed his sons, and there was the Spirit of God in that blessing really blessed the sons. But when now he was blessing the sons, in Genesis 49, here came Reuben, who'd played around 35 years before and thought he got away with it. And when it came, in one essence, we could say, even to the wedding day, and then you wonder, well, there's no blessing of God in this wedding. Because God had an issue. Because things were done in secret, deeds were done in darkness. And it catches you down the way. And when Reuben came and the father put his hand, he says, Reuben, unstable as water, you shall not excel. And he prays, says, Lord, please don't let his men be few. That's the only blessing he got. But when Joseph came before him, he had followed God through the thick and the thin. Go and read. It's like heaven poured out a blessing. Wow. The blessings of above, the blessings of the deep, the blessings on your children. Go and read Genesis 49.
Amen.
It catches you up, friends. There's something about a father's blessing we want.
Thank you, Lord.
It says about Esau, when he was 40 years old, he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Bashemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, which were a grief of mind unto Isaac and to Rebekah. Hey, do you want to be a grief of mind to the children of God? My friend, I don't want to be a grief of mind to you. I don't want to be a grief of mind when I got married to my mother-in-law. I don't want to be a grief of mind. I don't want to play around with the children of God so that it's a grief of mine. Do you want to give your parents sleepless nights because you don't know how to do courtship the right way? Because they know that you're playing around with things that you shouldn't play around with. Do you think God's going to bless you and respect you when you are putting grief on your parents? Do you want the pastor and the elders and the deacons to be grieved because of what you're doing? And then you think God's going to bless you. It doesn't work like that. Friends, we need to approach this very seriously. Because in this age, there's a lot of slackness and looseness and compromise in this. And we need to stop it now. We need to go back to the original boundaries. We need to move the landmarks like the Bible says. Don't remove the ancient landmarks. We need to go back to the ancient paths and walk in them. Then we find rest for our souls, the scripture said. We don't need these new carts and new ways. It catches you up down the way. As we finish, we need to get in the spirit of the composer. Now, I've started strong today, and I intentionally did this. To say, we need to really lay this on the line and say, saints, enough is enough now. No more chatting. No more boys sending messages to girls and girls sending messages. Don't do those kind of things. Even if we don't see it, God sees it. And that's going to, and you wonder why you have no power in your spiritual life. You wonder why you have no vision anymore the way you used to have vision. There's no more reality in your prayer. There's no more revelation in your Bible reading. God has an issue with you because you're not going respectfully. You're not behaving honorably. You're not approaching it advisably. Prayerfully and advisably is the key.
Amen.
And God will bless you.
Hallelujah.
We need to get in this. We need to get into the divine frequency on this. We need to get in tune. So finally, here's the questions. We'll read them once more and then we'll close. Just three of them. When a brother or sister are interested in each other, but want to keep things private and take time to see if they are truly compatible, what is the proper way to go about it? You do nothing until you speak to the father. You do nothing until you speak to the pastor. And then you can say, please, we want to keep this private. We're not yet sure. We just want to be in courtship so we can really, really make sure. You might be 100% sure. They say, please announce it to the saints. We let saints rejoice with us. Good. It's up to you. If you want us to keep it quiet, it's fine. But we're going to tell the ministers, we're going to tell the deacons. So look, there's a courtship going on. This is what's going on. So if somebody else sees the issue, there's no reproach. A young person comes and says, I saw brother so-and-so. No, it's fine. They're in courtship. Just keep it quiet, okay? And it's good. It's finished. It's safe. It's nice. It's orderly. It's decent. Amen. That's the way that it should be done. But when somebody's coming to us saying, I saw brother so-and-so and sister, we know nothing about it. Now you're a grief of mind to people now. Now people aren't sleeping well at night saying, but hey, how are we going to deal with this one now? Do you really want things to be like that? You don't. You're the children of God, so let's do it properly from the beginning. Is it appropriate for them to talk or chat during that period? Yes, once you get permission from the Father. Until you get permission from the Father, there's no talking or chatting. It's just general brother and sister talk and chat, like you would normally at a youth and all that kind of stuff. But to really talk and chat needs permission from the Father. Absolutely needs permission from the Father. How should they handle it wisely? Do it God's provided way.
Amen.
Do it prayerfully and do it advisably. How should somebody cope when they have genuine hope or expectations for a relationship with a brother or sister in Christ, but things do not work out? That needs personal counsel because obviously there's individual circumstance. But one thing I would say, I do believe, number one, whoever this person is, consider your approach. Did you do it prayerfully and advisably? Were you praying about this situation? Did you get advice? Or did you just follow your own way? And then you got hurt in the end because it didn't work out. That's what I mean. I would think, go back and see where did it start and how did it get that far and so it became so hurtful for you. Was there advice? Did somebody advise you? Did somebody be careful? Maybe if you'd have gone for advice, it says there that things did not work out. Maybe the brother had his heart set on somebody else. And maybe if you had come to us, we could have told you that. Or you could have told, look, just wait. Another thing, what I think it is as well, don't open your heart too quickly in any relationship. When you're 14, 15, 16 years old, why are you opening your heart to anybody? Don't open your heart like that. You're going to get hurt. Because once you open the door, it's very hard to close that door again. So you guard your heart until you know it's the right person and you follow the right order and the parents agree, the pastor knows about it, then open your heart and really go about it that way. But I would think maybe this person opened their heart too young or they opened their heart too soon in the relationship. And then parting, and that's a very painful thing to have to go through. Finally, over the years, what have you noticed that youths most commonly fall short in? I think we've answered that question already. I mean, I don't really think there's any other real big issues among youth. Yeah, maybe it's just too much screen time sometimes, this, that, and the other. But the fundamental ones that cause grief of heart is this one. People not doing it prayerfully, not doing it advisably. This is the real one that can cause a lot of headaches and hardship and breaches in relationships, mistrust with one another and hurt and all that kind of stuff. Is this because it's marriage and divorce issues? It's the original sin. It's got to be handled very, very carefully. What advice or lessons have you personally learned from your youth? Well, we won't look at that one today. So let's really be in prayer about this, saints, because I'm really glad Brother Wilm was doing this with the junior youth. I think it's the right time. I'm glad this has come up with the senior youth as well, because I think it's time now for us to deal with this issue thoroughly this time so that it's so clear, so that everybody knows God's way of handling this issue. And that'll safeguard the church, it'll safeguard the individuals, it'll safeguard our sisters, because everybody knows the right way. When somebody else wants to come the back door or somebody else wants to use a new card, straight away people pick it up and say, this is an uncertain sound. This is not the way that things should be done. So let's really be in prayer about it, saints, and let's stand.
Amen.
Amen. Let's bow our heads, saints, today. If you're desiring prayer, why not just lift it before the Lord in your heart? As we pray, Father, we look unto Thee. We thank You for this day. We thank You for the power of truth. Father, Your word is a lamp unto our feet. Father, to show us the way we should walk in every aspect of our lives. And Father, we want to walk in the light as you are in the light. We don't want to walk in the darkness, Lord. We don't want to walk in the modern ways and following the modern things, Lord. We don't want to follow the wrong influence and listen to the wrong voices in this day. So help us, Lord. Father, bless Brother Wilmore in those Sunday school lessons. We pray, bless our young people, that their hearts might be prepared ground, Lord, that you may just clothe them in your whole armor concerning these things, Lord, that, Father, they may continue to be a blessing unto us, Lord, we pray. And we pray concerning our senior youth. We thank you for, Lord, the honesty of these very good questions. And, Lord, we pray for grace. We pray for mercy, Lord, to be led and guided of thee, to answer these things according to your will. And we pray, Lord, that these things will stick in our souls, that there will be a revelation unto us, that, Lord, will be transformed by the renewing of our minds to see it the way you see it, Lord, that this will be the only system, Lord, that is part of, Lord, the spiritual makeup of who we are, that we may be this word made flesh, Lord, is our desire. May you bless our senior youth, bless and help each and every one of them, and help us as parents, Lord, help us as ministers, help us in your house. Father, we just want things to be decently and in order, Lord. And Father, grant us grace, Lord, as we go from this place. Thank you for the worship we've had. Thank you for the item that was sung. Keep us now, we pray, and bless them that aren't with us, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you both.
Thank you, Pastor. Amen. Let's sing 127, Are You Washed in the Blood?
Yes.
It's A flat. A flat. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace? This are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, are you washed in the blood? Oh, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white? Yes, no, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior? Oh, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, are you washed in the blood, in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they washed? Yes, no, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom comes, will your robes be pure and white in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansion, bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, yeah. Are you washed? I'm washed in the blood. Oh, Lord, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white? Yes, no. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, yes, lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There is a fountain
flowing for the soul, unclean, oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, are you washed? Yes, I'm washed in that blood, in the blood, in the soul, cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless, are they white? Yes, no, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, yes, are you washed? Oh, in the blood, in the soul, cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless, are they white? Yes, no, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
I mean, let's just sing part of 141. We're not going to sing it all, I'll be. 141, nothing but the blood. It's key G, please.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fountain, no, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh yes, for my cleansing this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh yes, for my pardon, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh yes, oh precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh yeah, this is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh yeah, this is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, precious is the blood that makes me white as snow. No other fountain, no, nothing but the of Jesus. Oh yes, now by this I'll overcome. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh yes, now by this I'll reach my hope. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh yeah, hallelujah. Oh, precious is not. Oh yes, not makes me white as snow. No, other fountain, no, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, glory, glory, thou. nothing, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh yes, oh my praise, for this I bring, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh yes, oh precious, is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen. Bless you, saints. Thank you.
Yes.